HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Allison Keyes. A Texas pregnant woman who had been cleared to get an abortion despite the state's near total ban is in limbo now after the state Supreme Court put a judge's ruling in the case on hold. Kate Cox is already a mother of two, but says doctors tell her her fetus is at a high risk of miscarriage or stillbirth. KHOU-TV's Cheryl Mercedes.
A lower court granted her permission to get an abortion, but Attorney General Ken Paxton appealed it to the state Supreme Court, saying she hasn't proved her case satisfies the requirement for a medical emergency exemption. Cox's attorneys say the high court is staying the lower court's ruling until they have more time to consider the case.
The United Nations says there's a desperate humanitarian crisis in Gaza, where many haven't eaten anything in several days. The U.S. vetoed a U.N. Security Council request yesterday for an immediate humanitarian ceasefire. CBS's Remy Innocencio reports.
Israel's ambassador to the United Nations actually thanked President Joe Biden, saying that a little light dispelled a lot of darkness. His allusion there was to Hanukkah, which started on Thursday. That is known as the Festival of Lights. And as for the rejection, that veto of that UN resolution for a ceasefire, that does give more cover for Israel's defense forces.
At UNLV, the Las Vegas campus is still reeling after a gunman opened fire this week, killing three professors and wounding a fourth. KLAS-TV's Sasha Loftus.
Students are still traumatized, trying to make sense of what happened.
It affects everybody, everyone that was there, everybody that wasn't there.
UNLV President Dr. Keith Whitfield echoing that sentiment of shock during a news conference Friday.
One moment that people are fine, and then the next moment it feels like they're being knocked down by a tidal wave of grief and pain.
There's some wicked weather on tap in a lot of the nation this weekend, beginning today in the Midwest and more tomorrow. Kelly Cass is at the Weather Channel.
From the Tennessee Valley back toward the Mississippi River Valley, that's where things really begin to start up. But even ahead of that, we've got showers in Atlanta that could cause a ground delay or possibly a ground stop up towards Nashville. The storms are moving in by this evening.
Holidays aren't fun for everyone. CBS's Willie James Inman.
A mental health survey by the American Psychiatric Association finds nearly a third of Americans are more stressed out this year than last holiday season. The top three sources of anxiety are affording holiday gifts, finding gifts, and the cost of holiday meals.
Just wild, Taylor Swift.
Guess I'll just stumble on home to my cats.
Her Eras Tour is the first to make more than $1 billion. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. There's a lawsuit challenging Wisconsin's near total ban on collective bargaining for most public workers. Some say the outcome could help Wisconsin's beleaguered education workforce. Mike Mohn has more.
Act 10 has been in place for a dozen years and was a major priority for conservative lawmakers. The latest lawsuit comes as Wisconsin, like other states, grapples with teacher shortages. Maddie Toff is a graduate assistant at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, who says restoring these rights could make the state an attractive place for future educators and researchers.
Having really strong education through academia as well as in public schools is really important for training the next generation, but also recruiting people.
Toff is with the Teaching Assistants Association, a union that is among the plaintiffs in the case. The controversial law has been able to stay in place despite past efforts to have it thrown out. The state's teacher turnover rate has climbed from 8% in 2010 to more than 15% in the last school year. Tuff says at the graduate student level, she and her peers are very passionate about what they're studying. She feels not having the right to bargain for extra support erodes at their enthusiasm to carry out a public mission.
We have people who have to live with many roommates or don't have enough money to get groceries.
She says at UW-Madison, her union is in the midst of a major campaign citing the need for paid leave benefits. As for the lawsuit, it was filed after the Wisconsin Supreme Court flipped to a liberal majority. But legal analysts say it could take some time for it to reach the high court and there's the possibility the newest liberal justice would recuse herself from the case. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, some snow is possible, highs near 38 degrees. For tonight, snow likely, less than a half inch of accumulation, breezy with a low around 23. Sunny for Sunday, 31, sunshine and 35 on your Monday. For Tuesday, sunny and breezy, a high of 30. Right now, 35.
Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up? This is a pre-recorded, man.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. How you doing, Calvin?
I'm doing okay, Earl. How are you?
I'm doing fine, man. I feel pretty good this morning, man. I got some... For whatever reason, man, you know, I slept pretty good last night. You know, I was reading some stuff the other day about how the older you get, the more difficult it is for you to sleep. And, man, something about getting older, you know. But anyway, I got up this morning, man, and all I could do is think about what is happening in this nation and why there's so much division, you know, in this nation. And man, so I started thinking about the division, not Democrat or Republican, not black or white, not Jew or Gentile, not Christian, not Muslim, not male, not female. I thought about the division of ages, man. And so I started doing a little research on the breakdown of who the 325 million or so Americans really are. What is our makeup, demographical makeup? And I found a couple things that kind of astounded me, man. Do you know what the youngest generation is, man?
That would be, I think they're calling it Generation Alpha or something
like
that.
Yeah, man. Young people would know that. But I never knew anything about a Generation Alpha. But Generation Alpha is the youngest generation. They are, 10 years old. And, from 2010 to 2023. There's about 2.8 million of them born every day. And so, you know, many of us, especially those of my generation, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, were you aware of a generation called Alpha? And once I started digging into the generations and what is going on in the society, it really is a breakdown of the generations, Calvin, and an issue that we from these different generations see the world through a different prism. We see this nation through a different prism. And while we're caught up in this Democrat-Republican foolishness, the real problem inside of our nation is generational. And it really is something that we need to address, myself included, because, you know, I'm a baby boomer and, you know, we walk around with our chest poked out. And, you know, because many of us, you know, struggles for the most part economically are behind us. It doesn't mean we don't have issues. We deal with the same life issues that all the other generations do, the misery that happens when our hearts are broken, you know, through things that are out of our control. But I started looking at the different generations, and I'd love for you, the listening audience, to help me through this, because I think there's a lot in this that if we kind of looked at it differently, even in our own families, man, right? I mean, you look at your own children, and mine are Generation Xers. And so, you know, they don't see life the way I saw it. And they don't see life the way I see it. And to be quite frank with you, as a baby boomer, I didn't see life the way my parents did, and my parents were part of what's called a silent generation, those born 1925 to 1945. I didn't see life the way my parents saw it. But let's break down these generations, and then we can go from there. But I think it's important that we break down these generations. Now, I talked about the alphas. And, you know, most of us, the alphas really don't have any say in anything, Calvin. They're, you know, they're 10 years old. And so, you know, they get whatever we dish out to them. I'm just sorry. They don't vote. And so whatever we give them is what they're going to get. We are not preparing for the future of the alphas. Do you think as a nation, Calvin, we're preparing for the future of the alphas?
No, it definitely doesn't seem like it when you look at cuts to child care and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I know, man. So they're not even thought of. As a matter of fact, I didn't know that there were alphas. Calvin knew. But most of us don't know a doggone thing about the alphas and their generation. For the most part, unfortunately, there's some of us who do care, those who are fighting to make sure climate change is under control. So these alphas have a fair shot at life. We don't want to leave them in a situation where the resources are all depleted. I mean, it would be a selfish and insensitive thing to do, but, oh, maybe we do. We are a selfish, insensitive lot. Human beings. And so those young people, what would they be? It would be great, great, great grandchildren of the baby boomers. Of the silent generation. Let's go down the list. So the silent generation, Calvin, 1925 to 1945. And so they would be 69 and above. Well, 70 and above. They would be a part of the silent generation. There are 55 million of them still here. And so we don't talk much about them. We don't talk much about them because we act as if they're not there. We act as if their voices don't have any value, but this is how foolish all of this is. Why would you discount people with that kind of knowledge and life experience? That includes my generation, the baby boomers, who fails to understand and get the the life experience of those of the silent generation who've lived through it, man. You know, lived through World War II, lived through the Great Depression, and other things. They've lived through so many different hardships that, man, we shouldn't have to figure all this out. We can go and talk to people who are still here, who are still lucid, who can teach us and give us direction and guidance. Hey, man, at 69 years of age, I know how little I know. The older I get, the more I realize, man, there's so much I don't know, man. I can't walk around with my chest poked out talking about what I know. So, you know, you got somebody around in that age demographic who's still lucid. Man, you're talking about a gold mine. Man, stop wasting time. Time is short. You've got somebody in that age demographic, man, sit down at their feet and let them give you guidance on this thing called life, on this walk, on this planet. They've been through it, and they're still here. Again, that's the silent generation. Still 55 million of them are here. Next, the baby boomers. 76.4 million of us are baby boomers. We would be 59 years old to 69 years old. Born 1955 to 1955 to 1964. That's the baby boomers. And so 76.4 million of us. And man, you know, we're feeling our muscles, as Popeye would say. Because, you know, even at my age of 69, I don't feel old. So if your health is still good and you kind of figured some things out and you've been around a little while, we walk around as if we have all the answers to all the problems in the world, my generation, when we don't. We clearly don't. We've been in leadership for a long time. My co-host on Tuesdays and Fridays, Sandy Williams, always talks about the selfishness of my generation. He's right about it. You know, look, our phone lines are open, 844-967-2789. You know, and I know many of you are in my generation. But we just having, Kevin, can a radio talk show host have a fireside chat? Or do you have to be a president to have a fireside chat? We're going to have a little fireside chat this morning. 844-967-2789. Is the number. Your thoughts, because we're going to go down the list and then we're going to delve into why we can fix this if we'll just listen to one another. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show, 540 AM WAUK 1017 The Shaw.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. I'm talking about the generations and something that's not talked about and something that should be talked about. Because if we're looking at a way to fix what's wrong with our nation, it's got to be through conversations with the different generations. Somebody needs to grab us all by the hands and sit us down and lock us in the room and have us have this conversation and dialogue where we actually listen to one another. I do know that as a baby boomer, the generation that comes after me, Generation X, there were 55 million silent generations. 76.4 million baby boomers. Generation X. 65.2 million Generation X. They would be 43 to 58 years old. And they would be born 1965 to 1980. Now, that Generation X right now is, you know, moving into leadership across this nation in business. And the one place that they're having difficulty somewhat is in politics, because my generation doesn't want to let go, especially on the national scene. But Generation X's, again, make up 65.2 million. They're 43 to 58 years old, 1965 to 1980. Strong-willed. Many of them college educated. And see life through a different prism than my generation did. My generation clearly was more concerned about, you know, upward mobility, owning things, building, you know, a safety net for ourselves, acquiring as much wealth as we possibly could, building families. And so Generation X, on the other hand, they're certainly interested in, you know, success. And don't let me do this alone. 844-967-2789. Love to hear your thoughts on it. But I know Generation Xers. I told you, I've got three sons that are Generation Xers. And life is different. It's a different world for them than it was for me and for my generation. And they've got to struggle and fight a little harder to be successful in this society than I did and my generation did, because the opportunities for them aren't as vast as they were for my generation. Just a fact. You know, you look around and again at 18 years of age, during my time, you know, guys, people made enough money to be living on their own without college degrees. At 18 years of age, I know I was one of them. And so you could start your life out early. It's not been the same for my son's generation. It's not. They didn't get the opportunities that we did. And I think part of it, they're kind of angry and frustrated, many of them, because they've had to put their lives on hold somewhat, especially many of them who went on to college and created a lot of debt and can't move forward quickly enough because of the way the society is structured now. That would be Generation X's. Many of them have not been able to start families. And, you know, because it's tough enough trying to take care of themselves. It's Generation X's. Next up is the millennials. They make up 72 million, 72.4 million. They would be from 27 to 42 years old. They're born 1981 to 1996. And now, Calvin, that's a little bit before you.
Yep, I missed the cutoff by 2 years.
Yeah, he missed, but you can kind of understand.
Yeah, I kind of feel like being right at the very, very beginning of Gen Z, I kind of have a little bit of connection to the millennial generation, too.
Yeah, so you know millennials, right? You kind of hang out with some millennials.
Yeah.
Okay, so from your perspective, what do you see from millennials? Again, they're from 27 to 42. How are they seeing this life?
Well, a lot of the things that you said about Generation Xers also apply to millennials, and it's compounded and maybe even worse for them. Their debt from college is probably
more. No question.
Is more. That's the generation where the student loans really started to get out of control. They're the ones that are dealing with that probably the most significantly. And yeah, I know that what you said about being unable to start families and provide for themselves. I know more and more millennials are moving back in with their parents and that kind of thing. So yeah, definitely feel and see the plight of the millennial generation.
Well, man, their lives have been put on hold, right? I mean, their lives have been put on hold. And so many are angry because, you know, they feel like nobody cares, right? Nobody's listening to their plight, and they think that it's whining. And you hear when President Biden attempted to address the issue, really many people, baby boomers and others, push back and say, hey, whoa, wait a minute. We pay for our student loans. And so we don't have any compassion or sympathy or empathy for them because they went ahead, they signed the letter, And so this is their debt that they accrued, not having empathy enough for them to know that the cost of education went through the roof for Generation Z and Generation X. It clearly was nowhere near that for my generation. People could go to college, get a four-year degree, man, and owe $8,000 if they owed that. 844-967-2789. We'll continue this drumbeat after we pay a few bills. Don't touch that dial. 844-967-2789. I can do it myself. I'm more than capable, but I'd love to have some buy-in. We'll be right back.
If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today.
93.5, The Tap.
CBS News Brief. The Texas Supreme Court has put a judge's ruling on hold, allowing a woman to have an abortion despite the state's near-total ban, thanks to an intervention by State Attorney General Ken Paxton. KHOU-TV's Mia Gradney.
A lower court granted her permission to get an abortion, but Paxton appealed to the state Supreme Court, saying she hadn't proved her case satisfies the requirement for a medical emergency exemption to the abortion ban.
Israel's prime minister is speaking out about that failed UN Security Council resolution for an immediate ceasefire. The U.S. vetoed it. The BBC's Hugo Bechega.
American officials sharing the view of the Israelis that any kind of pause in hostilities right now, a ceasefire, would only benefit Hamas.
The campus at UNLV remains in shock after this week's mass shooting that left three professors dead and a fourth person injured. The gunman was shot and killed by two police officers. CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keys.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Badgers took off for Arizona. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers headed out to Arizona yesterday. They're going to take on the number one team in college hoops, the Arizona Wildcats. The tip-off today in Tucson at 2:15. Wisconsin ranked 23rd in the state now after those wins last week Saturday against Marquette, later this week against Michigan State. But Greg Gard asked, is there any way they can improve their shots at the foul line at practice during the week?
You know, you can practice those things, and we've done every drill imaginable. It's still about performing when the lights are on, the pressure's on. All of them are good enough free throw shooters to make it when the gym's empty. You got to do it when, you know, the game's on the line and everybody's watching, the cameras are rolling. So that, from that standpoint, getting there is probably priority number one.
College volleyball, the Wisconsin Badgers women's team, now in the Elite Eight, a part of the NCAA National Tournament. They beat Penn State the other night, 3-1. Tonight, they face off against Oregon. That game gets started at 7 o'clock. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, some snow is possible. Highs near 38 degrees. For tonight, snow likely, less than a half inch of accumulation. Breezy with a low around 23. Sunny for Sunday, 31. Sunshine and 35 on your Monday. For Tuesday, sunny and breezy, a high of 30.
Right now, 35.
Hey, this is Travis Kelce, NFL tight end and proud member of the Lowe's Home Team. Lowe's knows when you've got the best price, you've already won. That's why we offer the lowest price guarantee. If you find a better price online or in store, we'll match it. Now you can score on the top brands from the Lowe's Home Team picks, like Scott's, LG, and DeWalt. So take on your projects with confidence. Lowe's is the exclusive home improvement retail partner of the NFL.
Price match applies to same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at Lowe's.com/lowest price guarantee.
Snow brings thoughts of ways to stay busy in Wisconsin during the winter. And if you anticipate hitting the slopes, are you surprised to learn there are more than 36 ski resorts across the state? It ranges from Wilmot Mountain, which opened in 1938 in Kenosha County, to Mount La Crosse Ski Area with one of the longest runs in Wisconsin. Granite Peak offers 58 runs outside Wausau, and Wild Mountain Ski Area and its 7 lifts near Hayward. Now, do you know which of those resorts sits on the highest slope? The answer coming up. Recreational skiing started in the Midwest. The Lost Ski Areas Project reports the first documentation of actual downhill skiers happened in Beloit in 1841. So which resort sits on the highest slope today? It's Granite Peak near Wausau and boasts 400 acres at a 700-foot vertical drop. The fun and history of skiing is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Do you
the shepherd boy.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Before I go to the phone lines, I was just going, if you're just joining us, I was going through the breakdown of the different generations in this country and why I think we need to look at this closer. Because while we're talking about, you know, the elections and who's voting for Donald Trump and who's voting for Joe Biden, there's a lot to be learned by going down these generations in these age demographics that see life through a different prism and see where they are in life based on their economics and then where others are based on where they are with their economics. Let me stop. At the millennials, and I talked about there's 72.4 of them, and they would be 27 to 42. Generation Z, 72 million. Their age is 11 to 26. They're born from 1997 to 2012, and I can guarantee you they don't see life the same way baby boomers born from 1955 to 1964, they don't see. The generation Z's different world altogether. But what you have to understand is they're old enough to vote. All of these people are old enough to vote except for the Alpha generation. Hey, good morning to you, my friend Mary. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call. Thank you for listening as always.
Good morning, Earl, and thanks for focus on this. You informed me that I am actually bringing up the tail end of the silent generation. Wow, that was a surprise, but I'll take it. A few things come to mind regarding the young people. Some different cultures, societies seem to have more value, you know, on the young than we do. There's a Chinese quote that says, if you want happiness for a lifetime, help a young person. And then Native Americans, and I would suspect indigenous cultures, they think and they plan, and they their decisions are based on seven generations out. How is this decision going to affect, you know, those generations? And then there's a strong, fierce African tribe, and I can't think of the name of it. You probably know what it is. And when, upon greeting each other, the first thing that they say to each other is, how are the children? Profound. Oh gosh, we got a lot to learn here. But ending on a positive note for we older ones, where, you know, sometimes we're seeing some mental decline. There's a neurologist, neuroscientist, PhD by the name of Goodenough, and he wrote Breaking Alzheimer's, a 15-year crusade to expose the cause and deliver the cure. So, yeah, there's a lot of hope in that, and I hope that people take a look at this book and learn about his research and
Mary,
on board with what he's recommending.
As always, send me that information, and we'll reach out to him and get him on the air.
Great, thank you.
Thank you, as always, my friend. Really, really appreciate you. You know, here's where we are, and whether or not we want to see it or not is immaterial to me. I know that what I just got through talking about over the past 30 minutes were factual. This divide between us, again, the breakdown, 72 million Generation Zs, 72.4 million millennials, 65.2 million Generation Xers, 76.4 million Baby Boomers, and 55 million Silent Generations. If we could talk to one another about what our needs are, we could fix our nation. 844-967-2789. The politricksters be damned. We could fix our nation because all of us and the things that we need, there's enough in this nation to take care of all of our needs and wants. But if one generation doesn't talk with the other generation, we get what we have. Now, I want to tie this into it because I was reading this article in today's Huffington Post, and the bell rang. Seven whales just breached within 100 yards of our boat off Cape Cod, and my friend was playing Roblox. And this is a Generation Z. I usually get as annoyed as the next teen when adults talk about how kids are always on their phones. But on that day in Massachusetts, I was overcome by the urge to hurl his phone into the ocean as an intervention. Again, young Generation Z, they see, you know, seven breached whales. They're on the beach, and he's heartbroken seeing these majestic animals about to die. Young Generation Z, we're broken. I thought this is a young Generation Z talking like this. We're broken. I thought somewhere along the way a universal shift occurred. And most of us, me included, forgot how to be with people and experience life outside of a screen. And so there's been a universal shift. I think that universal shift was called COVID. Listen to this. I'll read a couple more paragraphs because I have to read it. The difference between an enjoyment of technology and an addiction to technology isn't what happens when kids are on phones, but what happens when they aren't. Early on in the pandemic, not much was available to us outside of those screens. We weren't just encouraged to spend more time online. We were mandated to do that for school. Real classrooms turned into Google classrooms. Mall trips with friends turned into Zoom hangouts. Familiar faces turned into profile pictures. While my friends mostly went back to a mask and distance version of school in September 2020, I stayed remote for my final year of middle school because my mom and I both didn't get the COVID shots. It didn't seem worth it to gamble our lives to get hit with volleyballs in gym classes. So I did virtual yoga. After a year and a half of near total isolation, it became hard to remember what a life social interaction was like, a live social action was like. Instead of a 14th birthday party, I had a parade of people in cars honking and waving in front of my house. My earliest visits with friends, once it was safe to meet again, were socially distanced hangouts in the backyard. We did outdoor movie nights on the grounds so we wouldn't be within 6 feet when I picked them up. We'd been dating for 6 months before the pandemic hit, and I was sure that we were about to have our first kiss, but that never happened. COVID stole my first kiss. You would not think of this unless, Calvin, you were in that generation, right? We would never even give it a second thought. But this is through the eyes of a young person.
Yeah, I guess. See, I was in the end of my college career by the time COVID hit. So I didn't even really see what it would be like to be in high school at that time and have all, whether you had a good time in high school or not, there's certain milestones and events that happen, and having those taken away and having to be at home, I can't imagine the effect that would have on
you. You know, man, even those things you're talking about, I still remember those things from my high school 50 years ago, right? Those were levels of growth in your life that you never forget. So let's do this. Let's go to Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. You say what?
Hi, Earl. Hey, you know, you and I are the same age, basically. I'm 71. I grew up in a, somewhat of a conservative home, but we were Democrats and everything. But life was different back in those days. You know, Leave It to Beaver was basically the way things were. You know, the Andy Griffith Show, like the little town of Mayberry.
Yeah.
It was basically the same. But you know something, Mr. Earl? I did not hate Bill Clinton. I didn't hate Barack Obama. But ever since Donald Trump has become president of the United States, it's hate on either side. Now, even if Donald Trump becomes president, which I think that he has a really good possibility, that's not going to solve the generation problem that we have today. Because I agree 100% with you. You know, if we could all talk together and get along and try to understand.
So why can't the generations talk to one another? Forget the Democrat, Republican, and President Donald Trump and Joe Biden. Why can't the generations talk to one another?
We are so divided now that I don't know if it can ever be fixed. I really don't. I think that we've crossed that bridge.
I know, but why are we divided? I can understand being divided as in politics, but I can't accept being divided in humanity. And so baby boomers should be able to have a dialogue with Generation Xers where there's not somebody feeling insecure about somebody else. The baby boomer feeling insecure that the Generation Xer is trying to take their job, or the Generation Xer feeling that the baby boomer needs to get out of the way and it's their turn.
You and I could get along with almost everybody because we were brought up that way. I don't think the Generation Xers and the Generation Ys and the silent and that stuff, I think that there's too much of a gap that they see things so differently. Things have changed, in my opinion, in the last 5 or 6 years drastically, and that is why we're not getting along. And each generation, other than I think that the
but Gary, you know, I can't buy
like the baby boomers are.
I can't buy we're not getting along. We have the capacity to fix that.
You and I can. Our generation, the baby boomers, can get along probably with almost everybody and try to understand.
Hey,
we're not just parents, we're grandparents.
The baby boomers are greedy. As Sandy says all the time, the baby boomers are greedy. You know, our cupboards are full and we still want more. I'm one of the baby boomers, man.
I know that, but our parents, see, when my mom grew up.
Hey, Gary, look, I'm sorry, man. I wish I had more time. We got to pay some bills. Hang on the phones. We'll be back. 844-967-2789. What say you? Tune into the Earl Ingram Show.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Just talking about the differences in the millennial generations, and later on, maybe early next year, I'm gonna delve deeper into this because I think this is part of the answer to what ails us as a society. Let's go to David from Mequon. Good morning to you, David. You say what?
Hey, good morning, Earl. Hey, by the way, it was a great concert. Just want to mention that, you know, if anybody wins those tickets, if you have any more of those, it's a phenomenal venue to go to.
Hey, man, it is.
And my wife said you guys look like you were like unbelievably dressed. She said she was shocked with your hair color. She goes, I thought he had gray hair. Anyway, I was going to lead into with that aspect of it. What I noticed, so when I saw you guys at the symphony, if you notice, a lot of people there were baby boomers or older. There wasn't many young people there whatsoever.
Well, that's because it cost a lot of money to go to the symphony, man.
Yes. Yeah. And I also worry about the fact, though, now there was, I would say there was like one young guy that was in that band that was up there. The guy was playing the bass.
Right.
Yeah. The other people, they were definitely well into their 60s, maybe 70s. And what I worry about is a person like Kelvin, really, my question to Kelvin would be this. Have you ever written a letter to a family member at all by chance? Just like old-fashioned snail mail by any chance?
Maybe when I was a kid in elementary school.
Okay, yeah. And so one of the things, Earl, that shocks me, so, you know, I have a couple of nephews and nieces, and they're, you know, in the Generation Z. They can't read cursive writing whatsoever. And
yeah, they don't teach cursive writing.
They don't. And so one of the things I'll say is this, you know, grammar is just like, it's so different now. Everything is like shortened. I have no idea when somebody, you know, like a nephew or niece, when they're texting and they're doing all these shortcuts with what they're saying, it's like, what is this? And part of that is, I think, the reason why we're having not the ability of being able to connect the dots, because there is a there's a huge chasm between, okay, when Calvin grew up, he was growing up with computers and laptops,
right,
and smartphones. I was the last generation to use the typewriter. Well, it actually came advantageous because it just so happened that the keyboard on a laptop is exactly the same as
right.
as on a typewriter. Yeah. But that being the case, again, back to the way I see things, it's a much different dynamic because we have gone to the electronic age, which has fundamentally rewired our younger generation.
Hey, Dave, I understand all of that, but the technology, let's move beyond that, but just the thought processes of people from the different generations, completely different.
It is. And, you know, I am in the X generation, solidly in the X generation, and obviously I grew up in the time, you know, the 1980s, which were basically, I mean, completely different than what you see today, where we weren't wearing bike helmets. You know, you stay out.
Hey, Dave, man, I wish I had more time, man. You guys call late in the subject, and, you know, we got the phone line, so I have to go to it. But thank you very much for the call, as always, man. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. First off, we the people, and that means all of us, are the government. We must never forget that. Second, I don't know what the hell Gary was talking about. When all of this started to happen, honestly, was during the Reagan Revolution. In the 80s, you didn't have TV shows, as an example, in our culture about the middle class person anymore. You had Dynasty, you had Dallas, you had The Rich. We had a show called Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. You had Newt Gingrich, who was the pinnacle of the change in terms of the partisanship that happened. He was the one that was so, did not do anything but make Bill Clinton sign legislation so he could get something done in his presidency that hurt all Americans.
So Tom, let me ask you quickly, man. If we can try to get past the politics just for a moment and figure out why we can't have dialogue one with the other through these generations. You know, it's paramount to fixing our nation that we have dialogue with younger Americans and the older Americans, sit down and have these conversations.
It's pretty easy because, one, we have right-wing hate radio. We have Fox, right-wing hate TV. The whole media establishment has gone.
I know, but Tom, that's Democrat Republican conversations. I'm talking about just a real sit down conversation with a young person and an older person about life, not about politics, but about what's happening in your life. What is it you need to have done to improve your life? We have to figure out a way to do that without politics.
Yeah. So Earl, what I would say is that, one, we stop labeling different generations because we're all part of the same human family. Second, I would say people get out of your cars, go door to door and actually meet your neighbors. Go actually go and volunteer coaching so you can actually touch these young kids.
Hey, Tom, man, I hate to do it, man, but we got to sell some things. Thank you very much for the call. You know, I'm gonna talk about this more and more because we have to. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. And I might carry the conversation on a little more with him, and you guys are welcome to join us.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down. If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
You are listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.